is limited. And guess what? Unless the Lord comes back, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. We don't like talking about death. We're a church that's called a life-giving church. But the reality of it is that we are all going to die. In fact, according to Death Clock, I'm scheduled to die on July the 13th, 2051. That means I'll be almost 99 years old when I die. Can you put up with me that long, you reckon? I thought that's kind of interesting. Death Clock. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, it says, man is destined to die once, and after that, face the judgment. And that's very serious. We kind of giggle about death clock, but we are all going to die if the Lord tarries. And we're going to face God someday. Let me ask you a question. If you knew, let's say death clock's true, and you get on death clock and type all your info in, and you see that you got 30 days to live, would that affect the way that you live your life? Would you have to change some things? Would it really affect the way that you live your life? And a lot of people say, nah, you know. But you know what? I had a scare a few years ago. I had a health scare back in the early 90s. And I won't get into all the gory details of it. But there were several days there I did not know what was wrong with me. I mean, I was passing blood. And, of course, you know, what comes at your mind is the worst. And I've told this story before, but I sat in a chair one night and saw my funeral. I heard the songs. And I had to slap myself and say, no, now wait a minute. You're not dead yet. Don't die yet. But it's amazing when I thought about my mortality. See, when you're young, you don't think about dying. When you're a teenager, you think you're bulletproof and Superman. But the older you get, the more you think that my life is not going to last forever. And if somehow we could know the future and know that we only had 30 days to live, would it change the way that we live our lives? Would we do things differently? And during that time that I was in between some stuff and fighting some mental battles, it's amazing that all of the walls in my life began to come down. All of the excuses just melted away. If there was an attitude in my life, I was quick to deal with it. If I had unforgiveness in my life, I was quick to let it go. If it was an area of either making excuse for my behavior or not making an excuse, I erred on the side of asking forgiveness. And it's amazing how it changes your mindset when you realize your mortality. You know what? And the truth is, in order for many to die well, they would radically have to change the way that they live their lives. And that's why we want to talk about this today. It's called 30 Days to Live. There's this quote that I like. It says, death is more universal than life. Because everyone dies, but not everyone lives. And even though we're calling this 30 Days to Live, it's not about dying as much as it is about living. Living. Living life to the fullest. So we're going to talk about that today. It says, I'm convinced that it's not the fear of death that haunts our sleep as much as it is the fear that so far as the world is concerned, we might as well have never lived. You ever thought about that? What will I be remembered for? Will I be remembered at all? Will I make a contribution? Or will I spend my life and it means nothing? And after I'm gone, I'll just be forgotten. I don't think we want to be forgotten to you. We don't want to be forgotten either. But we don't want to be forgotten at all. You know, one of the things, and you know, we hear about something called deathbed conversions. And we believe that that's possible. In fact, we've prayed with a lot of people on their deathbed to be saved. And we rejoice when somebody gets saved on their deathbed. But you know, the tragedy of a deathbed experience is that there was a whole life that produced very little of eternal value. See, we believe that every person is born for a purpose. And your purpose is not just you. It's not just your family. Your purpose is much bigger than that. Every one of us has people that we're supposed to influence. And the person who gives his life to Christ on the deathbed will go to heaven. But I wonder, what about the people they didn't influence? Maybe their children. You know, it would be a sad, sad thing that if I got saved on my deathbed and I didn't influence my children, and they didn't go to heaven. I got to go to heaven, but they didn't. Because I didn't spend my life well. So we're going to be talking about this. How do we live our life to the fullest? And this is why this challenge that we have today, what would you do if you had 30 days to live? You know, sometimes when we begin to think about death, a natural place to think about is a cemetery. I used to walk in the cemetery, and as I did, I would notice different tombstones and notice things about tombstones. And you know, you think about people. I mean, there's hundreds. I went down here the other day to Oakland. That's where I used to walk. And there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tombstones. And every one of those... every one of those tombstones represents a person's life. It represented a person who lived. Brian, go ahead and put up that first slide. I noticed this tombstone. And there's a lot of things that you can see about a person when you look at their tombstone. There's things in our life that we have control over. And there's things in our life that we have no control over. Number one, you don't get to pick your last name. How do you say that name? You may be kin to this person, I don't know, but I picked this one because it had a particular thing on it. But you don't have any control on what family you're born into. You don't have any control over what your last name is or your first name is. You don't have any control over the time that you were born in. You don't even have control over completely, although you can affect it, the day of your death. There are things that you can do to shorten your life. There's things that you can do to lengthen your life. But ultimately, we're all going to die. Do you see that dash between the 1895 and the 1971? That's the only thing that you have control over, is the dash. He didn't control the day of his birth. He didn't even control the day of his death. But he did control the dash. So we could say living the dash is an important thing in our lives. Now, we have a governor who is buried at our cemetery. And his name is Elisha Baxter. That's his tombstone there. You know, as you walk and you look and you consider, you think about different people. And you look at their lives and you think, I wonder what they were passionate about. Here was one of our early governors of Arkansas. From Batesville, died in Batesville, buried in Batesville. What did he think about? What was important to him? Who did he marry? I wonder what his personality was like. I wonder what his hobbies were. I wonder a lot of things about him. I wonder if he knew Christ. And you see these, and you notice things, and you think about their lives. Because everybody that's buried there lived a life. They lived the dash. And was it significant? And you know, there's people who have been born and died and really never lived. I don't know about you, I don't want that to be me. Now, there are people in our lives who have had great impact on us. And I found one there. Anybody recognize that name? Me and his son are great friends. Champ Hawkins. He died in 1971 on July the 8th. You know what happened 3 days later at his funeral? I got saved. July the 11th, 1971, standing across the street as that funeral was ending, I prayed a prayer and made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. He never knew that. He was gone. But our lives touch so many other people's lives. I had a Sunday school teacher. Her name was Miss Lily McClure. I don't know where she was buried, but I'd have had that one up here for sure. She was my Sunday school teacher when I was a kid. And she had a great influence on me because she loved me unconditionally. Now, I don't know. She may have gone to her grave. It had to be a frustrating thing to her to put up with us little yahoos that was in her Sunday school class, because we were ornery. We cut up and we, you know, thank God for our people who work with our kids here at the church. I would run and scream and pull my hair out, but sometimes you make me want to do that too. But you know, kids, they have a way they don't want to listen. And when kids don't listen, they don't listen noisy. At least when you don't listen, you do it quietly. I don't know how to always read that. But we gave Miss Lily a lot of problems. But one thing, I don't remember anything that she ever taught me. The only thing I remember about her is that she loved me unconditionally. And she always had the kindest, sweetest spirit in her life. And if she never touched another person, she touched me. And so that was a significant life. And that's what we're all designed to do. We're designed to be people of purpose. We're designed to accomplish some things that have purpose in them. Today, we're going to be talking about the first part of this series. And let me go ahead and give you the points of what we're going to be talking about. Number one is to live life with passion and purpose. Number two is to love completely. Number three is to learn humbly. And number four is to leave boldly. Today we're going to talk about living life with passion and purpose. Living life with passion and purpose. It is such a great way to live, is with passion and purpose. See, our life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. God, see, here's the thing about God. See, God's not a party pooper. God's not a party. You may be a party pooper, but God's not a party pooper. A lot of people look at God and, you know, God's against everything. No, God's not against everything. God's for more than He's against. He's for you. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you if you show out. He loves you no matter what you do. But what He would like to do is to have the influence in your life so that He can bring you into a place that you can live a life with passion and with purpose. And we have to do that His way. But one thing about it, God's purpose for our life will never be frustrating to us. It will be the most fulfilling life that you can ever live when you find your purpose in Him. And we're going to say some things today, I hope, that inspires some thinking in you. See, this today is your life. Right now is your life. You'll only live this day one time. So you're alive right now. This is your life. Not what it was, not even what it's going to be. This today is your life. See, a lot of times we get into this syndrome. We call it the someday syndrome. And the someday syndrome says, I'm going to be happy someday when I get that new car, or I get that bass boat, or I think like a guy, okay? I get that fur coat. Whatever it is. Someday I'm going to be happy, and we delay living life based on a someday. Today you're alive. Today is your life. And it's so easy to get caught up in that someday syndrome. I used to think I was, you know, the call of God was on my life as a young man, and I get to thinking, you know, someday I'm going to have a church, and someday I'm going to be happy. And you drive everybody crazy around you because you're so frustrated with where you are that you don't enjoy the moment that you live in. See, the journey is as important as the destination. And we need to live our, listen to this, we need to live our lives with the end in mind. Live your life with the end in mind. And you can step back today and you can look at yourself and say, what am I doing today? What is it going to produce? If I know what the end, or I want the end to be, or what God wants the end to be, then I need to back up and live my life to go in that direction. Don't be thinking about, you know, someday I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. You might get by with that. But you may lose your family eternally. You may lose a friend eternally because you didn't live your life with the end in mind. So we need to get out of the someday syndrome. Number two, time is your most valuable asset. The greatest thing that you have to manage is not your money. It's not your job. It's not any other thing. It's your time. You know what? If you waste money, you can get more. But one thing about time is that you only live this day, this moment, one time. You get one shot at it. You get one shot at today. And guess what? We don't need to be wasting time. Now, I know we need time to rest and we need time for recreation, but we need to be people of purpose. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, "Guard your spare moments. They are like uncut diamonds. Discard them and their value will never be known. Improve them and they will become the brightest gems in a useful life." Your day is important. See, I've learned something just in the last few years. Because it's that someday syndrome or later syndrome. It's when I begin to order my life today. I begin to manage my time today. I begin to set some priorities today. It's amazing what God does in those moments. I just discard. Like wasting time. Not being productive. Not being thinking about anything other than that. And you know, I do take time. I went fishing Friday. Woo, that was good. But that wasn't wasted time. Because I hadn't had a day off in a long time. And you have to have days off. You have to have rest time. You have to have all of this. But we don't need to just waste time. Read a book. Read something that adds value to your life. It's amazing what it begins to produce in you. And the more disciplined you become about your life, the greater those small moments will mean to you, the more they will produce in your life. Life is not out there someday. Life is right now. And time is what we're living in today. See, I don't want to get to the end of my life and find out that I've just lived the length of it. I want to live the width of it. I want to enjoy today. I want to enjoy this moment right here that we're together. You're the most awesome people. This is my responsibility. But listen, I don't want it to just be a responsibility. I'm spending some time with some awesome people here today, and I want to make it count for something. Let's make our time together count. Let's make our lives count for something because we only get this moment one time. One time. Let's not only live the length of our life, let's live the breadth of our life. Enjoy your family. You know, your children. Golly, you get to thinking about it. I remember, we got a bunch of people in this church that grew up in this church. And I remember when Chris and Eric and Davey and Kevin and Joe and and the Walker kids were just little kids running around church. And you know, you look up all of a sudden, and everybody's grown up, and they got kids. And it's amazing how fast life passes. I've got some old pictures of Vacation Bible School. I got Melissa. Some pictures of Melissa. We'll put them up on the big screen. So, no, I better not have that. Okay. But you know, they're all grown up now. And they have children. And it's amazing how fast our children grow up. And the moments that we had together, if we're not careful, we just waste those and we don't value those. Time is an important thing. Let's not just live the length. Let's live the breadth. And I'm enjoying my time with my kids today. And my daughter-in-laws and my grandkids. I'm enjoying that. I'm looking forward to that. I want to live a wide life. Not just a long life. I want it to be long and wide. Long and wide. And I want to live it for the Lord. The next thing we need to talk about is your most important connection. Your most important connection. And that is your relationship with God. See, you don't just have a spirit. I want you to think about this just a minute. You don't just have a spirit. You are a spirit. This is not... Look here. Everybody do this. This is not you. Rhythm. This is not you. The real you is on the inside. And someday, the inside is going to separate from the outside. And you're going to die. And you're going to live on. So the most important connection that you can make is a spiritual connection. And that is your connection with Jesus Christ. Because He is the one who loved you. He is the one who died for you. He is the one that wants to fulfill you. And let me say this. Jesus don't want to be part of your life. He wants to be your life. You say, well, that sounds like it's a very narrow thing. No, it's a very wide thing. Because when He is your life... See, the two commandments, really, that the whole Bible hangs on is what? Love God with all your heart. And your neighbor as yourself. But it has to be the God connection first. Because you cannot produce anything of eternal value until you have that connection. When you have that connection... It widens your life. You see life different. You take on different perspective. There are some things that are not as important to you as they used to be. And there are some things that become more important to you. And it just that connection just, it's like we live with blinders on. And then we meet God and He takes the blinders off and we see so much more. And that there's so much out there for us. So that is the most important connection that we'll ever make. So we need a healthy spiritual life. Now John 15:1-5 gives us an insight into that. Let me read that to you. It says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus talking. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What's the secret? It's abiding in Jesus. It's not just praying a prayer to ask God to forgive your sins. I did that back in 1972. That was the beginning. It wasn't the end. It's abiding in Christ and allowing Him to fulfill your life. When you abide in Him and He abides in you, you become very fruitful. You become very productive. And you produce things that have eternal value with them. So your greatest connection that you'll ever have is with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that connection, I encourage you to get connected today. You can do that today. But it's not, like I said, it's not just praying a prayer and getting the preacher off your back. It's letting Jesus become your life. And until you discover that, you've not really discovered the eternal thing. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about is that we need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves. If you're going to live a long, productive life, you got to take care of this. I'm trying real hard to take care of this. I have struggled with this. I mean, I don't know it. Some of you can eat like a stump jumping mule and never gain a pound. I can smell stuff and look like Blimpo, you know. But learning to take care of this, learning to guard your health is so important. Not only your physical health, but your mental health. You got to do that. You got to grow your mind. God gave you a wonderful thing. One of the greatest assets that you have besides your spirit is your mind. Your mind is greater than the greatest computer that's ever been. Really, the human memory capacity is good for 3 million years. Now, we're not putting a dent in that, folks. You could store 3 million years worth of memory in that computer. Nobody has ever come close to producing anything like the human mind. We need to keep those minds healthy. You need to be putting good stuff in there. See, it's amazing. You know, we just watch TV all the time. And most of that's not good stuff. There's some good stuff on there. But, you know, we waste our mind and we waste our opportunities. We don't read. We don't educate ourselves. We don't do the things we need to do. God gave you a mind to help navigate through this world. His Holy Spirit on the inside of you and your mind to be able to think God's thoughts. That's just a pretty awesome thing. So take care of yourself. If you're going to live life with passion and on purpose, you've got to take care of your body and your mind. The next thing is that you need to step out and take some risk. One of the things, we talked about this in an earlier series, one of the things that keeps us from doing that many times is fear. We're afraid. Every one of us in this place today have unfulfilled dreams. We have unfulfilled dreams. And many times, we're afraid to step out and take some risk. But you know what? A ship is safe in the harbor. But that's not what ships are for. Ships are made to sail the sea. But when you sail the sea, there's risk. And yeah, there will be storms out there, but the ship is made to sail the sea. If the ship is going to go anywhere, it's going to have to take some risk. You can't be afraid of the storms of life. We have a perfect navigator in the Holy Spirit. We have one that will lead and guide our life the way that we need it to. And we cannot be afraid to take the risk in life that we need to take. You're like the ship. Don't stay in the harbor. Launch out into the deep and let God fulfill some things in your life. It will be awesome. The next thing we need to do is thaw out our dreams. Everybody's got dreams. And they're frozen many times. And a lot of times they're frozen by fear. But thaw out your dreams. See, our truest life is when we are in our dreams wide awake. You know what? You know, I love my job. It's not a job. I love what I do. I've dreamed about doing what I'm doing right now. I remember when our church was little bitty on the other side of town. Little bitty auditorium. I mean, it would be hard to grow a church over there. The bathrooms opened out into the auditorium. Don't let your mind run too wild on that one. I mean, it was tough. That building was a blessing to us. I got some that'd like to go back over there. DJ said he misses it. We're not going back. But you know, even when we were little, at night sometimes, I would see myself in my dreams preaching to bigger crowds. I still see that. I see myself preaching to bigger crowds than I'm preaching to now. So it's so awesome when you can dream and you're wide awake. And you're living in your dream. Throw out your dreams. Some of you have got some dreams in your heart, some things that you want to do, and they're frozen for some reason or another. I don't know if it's the someday syndrome or what it is, but thaw out your dreams. Step out in faith. We're getting closer and closer and closer to things that I'm seeing in my heart. There's some other things that I see in my heart for this church that we're not yet doing. Several things that I see that we're not yet doing. And I'm looking forward, and we're stepping in that direction, but I'm looking forward till I'm standing in the middle of my dream, wide awake. I'm looking forward to that happen. And I know you have dreams too. Thaw out your dreams. Dream big. Thaw out your dreams. Then the last thing we want to say today is live life full throttle. I bought a four-wheeler a few years ago, and the guy that sold it to me, it's got a two-stroke engine. And he says, every now and then, you got to get that sucker out. If you're going to keep it healthy, you got to get it out and you got to open it up full bore. And it'd go about 50 miles an hour, and that's pretty fast for me on a four-wheeler. And you'll open that and it goes, wing, dee, 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 dee. Boy, I mean it, and full throttle. Because if you just run it idle or half throttle, it'll clog up. Sometimes we need to live life full throttle. I got a boat. It's a two-cycle two engine. And every now and then you got to get that out there and you got to open it up and let it run because it's healthy that way. We're not made to live half throttle. We are made to live full throttle. See, don't ask the question, what does the world need? Ask this question, what is it that makes me come alive? And then go do it. The world needs people who have come alive. The world needs people who have come alive. So we need to live life with passion. And we need to live it on purpose. And the things that we talked about today can inspire you to begin to do that. The most important of those being is the connection. Is Jesus your life? Let's bow our heads and pray today. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come at this time if they would. Father God, thank you today in Jesus' name for your love. Show us life. Show us life in abundance, Lord. Show us what it means to live with passion and wide open with purpose. Lord, I believe today that you've spoken to hearts. You've spoken to hearts. That you spoke into our lives. And that all of us have seen areas that we need to change so that we can live life with passion. I pray for each person here today that you would continue to minister this to them in Jesus' name. You know, maybe you're here today and you say, I'm not connected. I don't have that connection. But I need to have that connection. I need to make Jesus Christ my life. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that would embarrass you at all. We're going to open it up in just a few minutes for people who have prayer needs of other kind. But this one is people who need to make connection with Jesus. We're not going to ask you to get up and get out of your seat. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. But maybe you're tired of living life like you are. That you're not living with the end in mind. You're just kind of existing day by day. But you need to make Jesus Christ your life today. If that's you, slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to make Jesus my life today. Anyone?